As often I do this morning, I want to, first of all, thank and praise our God for getting us up this morning to be in God's presence today to worship. And often before I preach the homily, I like to ask for your blessing and your prayers, because I'm just a man, and a man who is oftentimes just so weak and broken and needs to be held up by the people. So would you extend your holy hands today that I might get a blessing from you, that what I say today may indeed be what God desires. Good and gracious God, we know the psalm is true. You feed us and answer all our needs. And so we come before you today having heard the word. Now may I preach the word to your people, that they might be blessed and you might be glorified. In Jesus' precious name, the one who feeds us, let the church say,
amen.
Amen. I have a crisp, big face, $100 bill. You know I like fresh money, right? Fresh money, Miss Yvonne? Who wants it? Raise your hand. Now, church, raise your hand. Father's giving out money today. You see, you come and give money, but I'm gonna give you some money today. I think everybody in this church this morning, if you're honest, would like to have an extra $100 bill in your pocket right now, wouldn't you? I mean, you could probably get yourself a nice little dinner tonight. You might be able to get yourself a couple drinks, or two, or three, or five. You might want to pay your bills. But the fact is that, come on, everybody in church wants. Amen, choir. Now, what if I took my $100 bill, big face Benjamin, all nice and clean, and just crumbled it up to a little ball? Who wants it? Now, but it's crumbled up.
And?
It's been smashed together.
That's okay.
But you still want it?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's still worth $100.
I'm going to take my once crisp $100 bill, crumbled up, and put it right here in the middle of the sanctuary, and take my nasty shoe with all my germs on it and just step on it. I gotta ask an elder. I'm one of the elders. Now, Miss Alma. Move on, Miss Alma. You're one of the help elders of the church. You always look good in church.
Amen.
Amen.
You still want this? In the name of Jesus. There you go. No. I'm trusting the collection today is going to be $100 plus. What? If I can't trust Miss Alma, it's pretty bad out here. If I can't trust Miss Alma now, she's like, uh-huh. But church, the fact is, sometimes in life, we feel like my $100 bill. Sometimes in life we get crushed. Sometimes in life we get stepped on. Sometimes in life things just don't go our way. Sometimes we're born into a situation we didn't even ask for. And you say, why me? But in prayer this week, in prayer this morning, I said, somebody needs to know, no matter what has happened to you, you have value, you have dignity, you matter in the eyes of God. Somebody needs to know that word today. Because sometimes in life we can think, where are you, God? Where are you? We see so much going on in our world today. We might ask ourselves a question, is God there? Is God real? Does God care? Because I see my beauty sometimes not respected, crushed up, stepped on. But I'm here to tell you this morning, church, on this last Sunday in July, the 17th Sunday of Ordinary Time, you matter to God, you're important to God, you might be clapped on, but God, and just like the $100 bill crushed up, stepped on, part of the collection, right, Miss Alma? You have value.
Amen.
God cares about you. It seems so simple, so elementary, but sometimes the older we get, the more we need to receive that word. God cares about you. God is with you. I think the little ones get that better than we do sometimes. But as life happens, we forget how much God cares. John chapter 6, 1 to 15 is our gospel text today. And if you go to Mass in the Catholic Church for the next few weeks, you will hear the unfolding of this beautiful chapter in Scripture, John 6. Somebody say Bible study. Well, read this ahead of time and see how good God is. See what a mighty God we serve. See how good and gracious He is. So good to me. Because God sends His Son Jesus into this world for one reason, salvation, church. God doesn't need it, we do. And everything Jesus does is always about us. Last week I preached, me, myself, and I. That's not the song of God. God doesn't dare say, me, myself, and I. It's always you. He looked beyond my faults and saw my needs.
Thank you, Lord.
Even when he's tired and wants a vacation, a retreat, the people keep coming and he feeds them, he teaches them. And we see today Jesus up the mountain in that posture of teaching. He raises his eyes and sees the large crowd coming to him. He knows exactly what he's going to do. Take the little bit of that boy. One boy with just 5 loaves and 2 fish. What good is that? That's enough for Jesus. That's enough for him. If you give your little bit,
come on now,
and give it to God, God will take care of the rest if you give it over to him.
Hallelujah.
You see, because the hand of the Lord feeds us. God answers all our needs, not our wants. It's a difference. God knows what I need. I want what I want. But God is a blessing God who always provides what I need, and always take care of me. If you give your little bit like that boy, God can magnify, because God is not stingy, God is generous, God is gracious. But you got to give it over, surrender it to God, and let God do the rest. Y'all with me this morning?
Yes.
And you see, what Jesus does with that little bit, it says that he took the bread, he gave thanks, and distributed. Jesus gave thanks. You wonder sometimes why your little bit is not enough. Have you given thanks? Even in the tough moments, give thanks. Even when you don't understand what God is doing, you give thanks. Even when it's confusion out there, I'm still going to thank you and praise you and bless you because you are worthy to be praised. I'm going to thank you because I know you did it before, you can do it again. When you have your spiritual history and you know, well, God did it back in 1961, what makes me think God has stopped blessing me now? The Lord is blessing me right now, right now, right now. He woke me up this morning and started me on my way. The Lord is blessing me right now, right now. But I have to come and give him the praise, give him the thanks. You thank him in church. You thank him at work. You thank him when you're driving. You thank him when you're walking. You say, thank you, Lord, because I thank you for today. Yesterday's homegoing from Miss Spencer, one of her sons talked about just the blessing of being the son of a gracious lady. Do we thank our parents? Do we thank our children and our friendships? Do we thank our good and gracious God? Because all we really have is today. And when you know that God loves you, and when you give God the praise is God's due, when you are filled with that sense of self that is not puffed up and arrogant, but a spiritual confidence that God has and always have me, even when the world doesn't think I'm much of nothing, I am somebody. I am God's child. I am somebody. That's why it's so important to root that in our children. Because if you know, and that's rooted in you, no matter what happens to you in life, you will get crumbled up. Folks will try to step on you. But you know who you are in Christ Jesus. And when you know that, it affects the way you treat other people. If I know I'm important, I'm worthy, I have worth, I'm able to recognize it in you. I'm not a licensed counselor, but I do know that hurt people hurt people. If I don't think much of myself, if I don't think I'm worthy of dignity and love, I have no problem hurting you because you're not either. I spent this morning before I opened the church up sweeping up the trash of Lehigh Avenue. It's amazing. We go to other cities, other neighborhoods. You don't see people discarding the trash the way happens around here. And some folks might say, well, Father, that's just how it is in the hood. I'm from the hood. That's not how it is in the hood. But if we allow ourselves to be dumped on, if we allow ourselves to have trash around and say, it's okay, it's only gonna come back tomorrow. In fact, somebody said that. You work here? I say, yeah, I do work here. Well, I do work here. But just for today, perhaps, the people of God, when they come down the street or they cross a bridge, will know there's something special about the people who worship here. They know who they are. They know who God is, because God deserves the best. That's what I mean by having a deep sense of worth and to know that God feeds us. Jesus takes that little bit and feeds them. And God does the same thing for us. God sustains, God feeds us so we can do right. We can live right and be right in the eyes of God. I'm gonna finish this morning with going back to Ephesians, a young lady who's a senior at Mount St. Joseph's Academy, all right. Give us some love, y'all. But she gave voice to Ephesians 4:1-6. Ephesians 4:1-6. Brothers and sisters, I, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received. If you know you are worthy, if you know God answers your needs and God provides, it affects the way you live your call, your vocation. Vocare in the Latin means the call. We all have a vocation. For many of you, it's a vocation of marriage. The vocation of marriage. Not just some contract you sign at City Hall, but a sacred covenant where two people look in each other's eyes and say, you first. No, you first. And the love that's expressed in life, the love that's expressed in fidelity, the love that's expressed, I do this till death do us part. That's marriage in the Lord. That's marriage the way Paul is telling the Ephesians to live, because if you know you are worthy, you might have to say to that person, I'm not going for that. I'm too good in the eyes of God. Live a life worthy of your call, Paul says. You know, it's amazing, shocking. In all the conversations this past week or so about President Donald Trump's behavior with women, so much is focused on the payouts, who said, who didn't say, cash or credit or charge, whatever it may have been. So much has been said about did he or didn't he do it, but no one's really talking about the witness he's giving to infidelity to our country.
Come on now. That's
right. I gotta go there, church. I have to go there. How do you think he would want his daughters to be treated?
Come on. Yes.
Would he want his sons to treat women the way he behaves? And some of it is already on tape. Is that a credible witness of the call of being a married man? And no one's talking about that stuff. The sickness, the loss of dignity, what it means to be married, what that means to our country and to our culture. Say what you want about President and Mrs. Obama.
Come on.
Perhaps we could be critical of them for many reasons. I never heard about a porn star in the 8 years he was president of the United States. I never heard about being unfaithful to your wife. Say what you want about him, but 8 years of dignity.
Yes.
How beautiful was it to see him with his girls getting ice cream? That's what a dad does. That's a father, church. And how many times have you seen Barron with his father? What about bringing him and teaching him how to play golf? I haven't seen it. Maybe you can't throw a ball, too old. But at least go out there on the south lawn and watch him throw a ball. The manner of your call, when you know you are worthy of love. And what about me, the ordained of the church? This exclusive guys club we call clergy. We won't let women in. And we continue to do things that scandalize the laity. And we expect y'all to keep coming and giving, but what have we done not to live out of our call? Because if you know you are indeed God's child, and you've got the gift of priesthood, the gift of being a bishop, the gift of being a cardinal to lead our church, and the things you've done It shouldn't mean an article be written about you to have you the humility to say, I need to go, I need to resign, I need to move on, because that's not my call in Christ Jesus. That's not. I cannot preach today about worth, about God feeding me, about my call, and not be sober to realize the importance of how I behave. The call, expect honesty, decency, fidelity, and truth from those who claim to be leaders in our church. I'm just saying this morning, church. But all of us, if we are baptized in Christ, we are to live a life worthy of our call. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another through love, striving to preserve unity. Unity. There's one God. There's one heaven. And I'm trying to get there. There's one heaven. There's one God. And I'm trying to get there. And Paul writes to them not acting right, tearing at each other, messing with each other. He said, that's not your call in Christ Jesus. Live your call. Perhaps you cannot affect what happens to bishops and cardinals. Perhaps you cannot affect what happens to the President of the United States. But you can affect how you live. The dignity, the honesty, the transparency that you're called because you are worthy. You are worthy. You see, God said, I'm worth saving. God saw something in me. He came and changed my life. I'm not sure about you, but he changed my life. And he cleaned me up inside. He said, Stephen, I would die for you. You are worthy. You have worth. You have dignity. I'm so glad God woke me up this morning. I'm so glad he got me here this morning to tell somebody, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Bye.
Rise together, amen.